Welcome to the Retail Insider video series. I'm your host, Craig Patterson, and we're joined here today with a special guest. This is Ash Yusufpour. He's an entrepreneur, retail industry expert, particularly with luxury retail, and founder of a brand called St. Ash. Welcome, Ash.
Thank you very much, Craig. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about some retail. We're going to focus a bit on the luxury retail industry, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Toronto area. We're both neighbors in the Yorkville area.
Yeah, we are.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then you recently took a trip to Italy and France, specifically, I think, Paris and Milan.
Just got back last week, actually.
So we're going to talk about that because I want to pick your brain. But first of all, let's talk a little bit about Bloor Street, Yorkville Avenue, and the areas right around that. This is a high density area in the city. It's the north part of the downtown core. For those that don't know the Toronto area too much, this north part of downtown is rapidly growing. There are many new residential towers being built. There are quite a few luxury stores on the way. It's really quite shocking, actually, how many are coming. And this could be the fastest growing high density luxury node, if you want to call it that, I think maybe even in the world. So yeah, let's talk a bit about Yorkville. What are you seeing here that's good so far from your observations?
There's a lot of good stuff happening, that's for sure. I mean, with the talks of all these buildings being built, they're going to be really high-end buildings, and in terms of they're mostly like a residential building with the exception for one, which is going to be office tower. But they all have really good retail space at the bottom of them. So that would contribute a lot. We're going to have a lot more space in the Bloor Yorkville area in terms of retailing. And so that's all exciting because I'm sure a lot of good tenants are going to be coming into the area. And a lot of new brands that have not been here before are coming now. I mean, you broke most of those stories that of the people that are coming. I think Ferragamo is coming. There is the Saint Laurent store that is opening, Van Cleef, and all the other ones that are coming to the area. So that's a very good uplift after the COVID. So because COVID has hit this area really bad. So I'm glad that these people are coming. So I think these are all good things that are happening. But on the other hand, some not very encouraging stuff are also happening. The in and outs of people coming into this area. And so that needs to be, taken care of. And there are some not really, really desirable tenants also coming into this whole area. So it's a mix of good things and bad things happening in the area, but I'm positive. Some stores are closing, as you broke the story again. So, but with all this, after all you hear all the news, I still think it's positive. I still think the whole Yorkville Bloor area is moving towards the right directions, and I'm glad that this new Hilton Hotel just opened, Canopy on Bloor Street. That is very nice because that would stretch this whole area to towards eastern side of Bloor. So that would be nice, and with Lens Crafters opening on Bloor East, so I'm very positive that in the near future we're gonna have a much better, more high end Bloor Street.
Let's talk a little bit about maybe some of the less desirable tenants. We're having honest conversations here. We recently had someone that said a lot of stuff that was somewhat controversial, but I did report on the Fabricland opening on Bloor Street. Now, it's for those that aren't aware, it's where the H&M store was. It's quite close to the corner of Yonge and Bloor. Now, the reason primarily that the store is opening is because the owners of Fabricland also own the property that the store is in. They recently purchased both the H&M's former H&M store space as well as a building next to it, which currently houses a Scotiabank and a vacant space for lease. But, it's many people have told me already that it's not necessarily the best tenant you would see in the neighborhood, where you've got, up the street, Saint Laurent and Ferragamo and Rolex and other stores being built.
Yes, that's one of the downfalls of this whole thing, but I think that would have been inevitable because they own the building, so it's not like they were here by choice. It was just they just owned it, you know. Maybe if it was another landlord, they wouldn't allow that to happen. I guess that's out of everybody's hands. Another tenant that I'm not particularly happy about is Hakeem. And there, not because it's Hakeem, just because he didn't do anything. I mean, they took the space. They didn't spend anything on, you know, decoration or the fitting of this whole beautiful, beautiful property. When you come to this area, you have to live up to the expectation of that. I don't think even it's even serving them as the retailer. I think they could do a lot better if they do a better job in terms of, you know, decoration and the whole fitting of this whole air thing. But that store is like the jewel of this whole area. I mean, I think it's one of the most valuable retail spaces in the whole country. Other than that, I guess everybody else is doing a good job. Everybody's doing amazing decorations, amazing fitting of the stores. But these two mainly so far.
The Hakeem Optical Store. That's located at the northwest corner of Bloor Street and Bay Street. Hakeem Optical opened during the pandemic and basically, you know, slapped some signs up, changed the space around them, and, you know, put eyeglasses in there. One of the things I've noticed, so I reported that the store had closed for non-payment of rent. That was for several days that the store had been shut. Something was worked out somewhere. I guess some rent was paid. The store is open. I did get an email from someone in the company saying, you know, we're open again, but I know the store will be closing again. The signage outside is still ripped. Like they've got this plastic stuff they put over the glass that, you know, has the brand names on it. You know, it doesn't live up to the, I think, what this neighborhood should be in terms of being, you know, a luxury area for shopping. Well, I think it's terrific that people are getting their eye needs served with a retailer, and I don't want to criticize that, but I do want to criticize the fact that this is one of the most prominent retail locations in Canada, and it's a store that does not look that great. You know, it's not well kept. Like you said, there wasn't a major investment put into the renovation of that store after it was a footwear store, other than, you know, putting racks for eyewear and whatnot. But there will be something pretty major happening at that corner that will involve Hakeem Optical closing. So stay tuned, because that will be happening. The next thing I want to ask you, Ash, here as well, is the Public Realm in the Yorkville area. I actually took a tour. It was during the pandemic. It was the summertime. I think it would have been 2020 with a broker from another country who does some work also overseas, particularly in Asia. And she was saying that she was extremely disappointed with the Public Realm here, that Yorkville should basically be a retail Disneyland, and that it was dirty and didn't look that great. And to this day, it's still, you know, the sidewalks can be dirty and whatnot. I'm curious to get your opinion on what you're seeing here in the Yorkville area in terms of, say, its Public Realm and what could be improved for luxury shoppers.
Yorkville is like the window of the city of Toronto in the eyes of the tourists, let alone the people that actually live here. But even when the tourists come, because all the good hotels are in there, so all the major tourists that are coming, they will be passing by Yorkville one way or another. So I think it's extremely important that you put out a beautiful face from the city of Toronto. I mean, it's not only about the Yorkville anymore. This area is like, it's in the eye of everyone that comes to this city. So I think it's very, very important that it's kept clean, it's kept quiet, and it needs more protection all around, you know. So I believe that there should be like a group formed by the retailers in there in the area that will make sure that everything looks perfect in this whole area. You know, I think that's one thing they could do with the help of the city, of course, to clean up everything, make sure that everything is clean, make sure everything is bright, everything is working properly, all the lights are on, all the, you know, the trees are fine, there are no dead trees, there are all the flowers that are in there we're taking care of, because it's very important. This is, I think if people that come to Toronto, if they take one thing away, is Yorkville, because everybody ends up in here. Because if you come to Toronto and if you want to, whoever you ask, Yorkville is going to be on their list to see, on the list of the places to go and see. So,
I mean, I guess one of the big threats to this neighborhood from a high-end retail perspective is the Yorkdale Shopping Center, because it seems to be getting a lot of brands, including Dolce & Gabbana, which will be leaving Bloor Street for Yorkdale.
Yes, unfortunately. Yes, I guess York Del Mar is stealing the thunder from Bloor Street, which was traditionally the only place. Like for example, the brands that we have on Bloor Street for as long as I remember, they were the only the branch that they have in the city of Toronto. Things like Montblanc or Tiffany, they only used to be here, like Louis Vuitton, everyone. But now they've started to open in Yorkdale Mall, and the people of Yorkdale Mall are doing a fantastic job in attracting new people, new companies. I think one of the reasons they're so successful in attracting all these companies because they have everything under one umbrella. So you're talking with one management, whereas in Bloor Street you're talking to different landlords, and they all have their own rules and regulations and what they want to do. So it's a bit confusing for the brands. But I mean, if you're approaching big like conglomerates, say Richemont Group or LVMH, and then you go in there and then you offer them a big package with which everybody can be under the same roof with the same rules and regulations, everything is much easier for them to decide. Whereas they have to come and talk to different landlords with different expectations on the street level. So I think that's one of their strong points for Yorkdale Mall that allows them to attract all these brands. And then everybody once you have so many brands, and everybody wants to be there, right? Because everybody wants to be associated with everyone. And they're still in the thunder, basically. And but I'm glad that the Bloor Street is having a comeback. I think Yorkville having a comeback. The thing that I'm very happy about is Chanel, which is on Yorkville. They don't have a standalone in Yorkdale yet. But I think that's, I think Chanel is like a winning card for this Yorkville Bloor neighborhood, which is a huge thing, and a few other ones. But it's a pity that some are. I mean, opening another branch in Yorkdale is one thing, but moving like what Dolce & Gabbana is doing, that's a whole different story. You know, that is really really discouraging, I think.
Yeah, and Yorkdale's interesting too. I believe Chanel will be staying in the whole Renfrew store, but will actually be expanding again. Mm-hmm. This is I get a lot of sort of insider information on different things, and one of the pieces of feedback that I got was that, you know, Chanel would be expanding. We're going to see what happens with some of the other concessions there. They may go into the mall. What I think is interesting, moving back to the Bloor Yorkville area, is. And I won't say the tenants yet, but it looks like Oxford Properties, which owns the Yorkdale Mall, has secured some high-end brands for the retail podium at the base of the newly renovated Park Hyatt Hotel. The reason I find this remarkable is because the Park Hyatt is across Avenue Road from the Church of the Redeemer. We haven't really seen luxury retail move in that direction yet. In terms of that part of Bloor Street, a little bit further west, which is towards the University of Toronto in the Annex neighborhood.
Well, it would be a great extension to this whole area. I mean, it's just that, so to see the brands, they have their own attractions. So being like on the other side of a road on this side, it won't matter to them much, as long as they could get the terms that they're willing to get. So it might be the case that they have not been able to come to a favorable term with the other landlords on this side of the of Bloor Street, and they decided to move further down. And then the way they're thinking, they're like, so we have our own clientele, so we are the ones attracting people, you know. And as long as we are in the vicinity of the other ones, it doesn't really matter which part we are, you know. I mean, even on Bloor Street, like as you know, traditionally a lot of them are moving around. Like Tiffany used to be on the other side. On the south side, now they're on the north side. Louis Vuitton, same thing. A lot of things have happened. They change because they find a more desirable space or a desirable term with the landlord. So even going to that direction, or even going to Bloor East side, still they're in the same area. Still they'll be seen, and still they'll make the sales that they projected. But I think that has a lot to do with what kind of space and what kind of a deal they could find with each space. But going back to Yorkdale Mall, I just realized that they're gonna have a lot of space when Nordstrom closes. So that whole area, they could do a lot of things with it. So I wouldn't be surprised if some of these concession stores from Old Renfrew would open up their own store, like what Louis Vuitton did and a lot of others. So I wouldn't be surprised if they put them in there, in that area.
Or in another, I know there's another part of the mall where this is going to happen. So I won't say too much, but again, some insider information. I think it's a 2-year plan, but which is a threat to Bloor Yorkville because these are going to become flagship stores for these brands in Yorkdale.
Well, I still think I still believe that the area to have the very high end stores is, I think, is still downtown because traditionally a lot of the luxury brands get business from travelers that come into the city. And where do we have all most of the 5-star hotels in the city? Most of them are in Yorkville, Bloor area, right? So that's still like a like an incoming flow of really high-end shoppers that are willing to spend the money. So, and it happens in any city you go to. In any city that you go to, usually where the good hotels are, like the 5-star hotels are, you find the best retail in that area. And so wherever like Four Seasons is, wherever like W Hotel is, or other like St. Regis is, or Ritz is, they're usually there. And so in our area of Bloor and Yorkville, we have like quite a few nice hotels. We have the Hazelton Hotel, we have the Park Hyatt, we have Four Seasons, we have Windsor Arms, now the new W, the new the new Hyatt Hotel, the high-end one that's going to be open at One Bloor. So that one will also be attracting a lot of clientele for the brand. So in my opinion, I still believe that the best place for the really high-end retailers to be is around these hotels.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And what do you think about Holt Renfrew on Bloor Street? The store has some concessions in it. Do you think that those concessions are precluding these brands from, say, opening standalone stores on the street, such as, say, Bulgari or David Yurman?
I think that, I mean, this has been like the data has been showing this, that these brands, they go into concession and then if they do good, they open their boutique, you know. So it doesn't mean that necessarily they will be closing that those concessions. They'll just open the boutiques as well. Look what happens with Isaiah and like Harry Rosen. So they went into Harry Rosen, they did good, and they started to open their own boutique, and it happened with a lot of different other brands. And so they're testing the area, you know what I mean? Even Rolex, for example, the Rolex has been in Royal Versailles for so many years. And then they decided that this is the area that they want to have a boutique, so they're opening one. Same thing with Van Cleef. They've been with Bergs for a long time, and then they decided they needed their own space, so they come out. Zegna did the same thing, but of course that didn't work out because of pandemic. But I mean, I think it's a way for the brands to test the market in those areas, and know the consumer, and know the taste of the consumer, what they like, what they don't like. And then they come out and they do their own boutique. I think that's been a strategy for them for a long time now.
That makes a lot of sense. I wanted to touch on something quickly. We didn't really discuss it too much before, but what's your opinion on the exit of Nordstrom from the Canadian market? Is this pretty catastrophic news to the overall retail industry, or do you think Canadians are going to miss the store?
I think we'll miss the store. There are a few things with the Nordstrom. First of all, I think they came in very weak. They didn't come strong. I think that was their biggest problem. That's my opinion. They're not. It wasn't what it is in the U.S. Over there, they're very strong. They work with a lot more brands. The options are huge in there. And by the way, the same thing is happening with Saks Fifth Avenue. I mean, they're not strong as well either. So, not what it is that we know as consumers. You know, when you travel to US and you see Saks Fifth Avenue or Nordstrom, you see a completely different thing from what we're seeing here. So I think that's one of the things. But overall, I think it's not very encouraging that these brands are leaving, like Nordstrom is leaving. And then on the other side of the news, we hear that Zellers is making a comeback. So it's when you put these two in the in a in a equation, and then it doesn't give you very encouraging outcome, you know. it's like we are moving backwards instead of moving forwards. You know, we thought that we are done with the Zellers, the Kmarts of and things like that, but they're coming back, and then these guys, the luxury ones, are leaving. So overall, I don't like it, to be honest with you. I don't like it that Nordstrom is leaving and Zellers is coming. Not that it's replacing it. I mean, just coming back to the retail space. But I'm not sure if we would, as Canadians, we would miss Nordstrom a lot, because it, in all honesty, it didn't contribute much, because it was not what we expected it to be when they came in. I mean, whoever has seen a Nordstrom in the U.S., they would know that this is not the same thing. You know, it's like they brought in a mini version of it to see what's going on, and there's no novelty in this whole thing. You know, it's just another department store selling the same brands at the same price, at the same collections. That's it, that you could find everywhere else. You know, there was no novelty. So there's nothing that you would say, oh, okay, I gotta go to Nordstrom to buy this. There was no such a thing. You know, that whatever was in there, it was like just the usual stuff that you could find anywhere else as well. So for that reason, I think there was nothing special about it for people to go and keep it live and going. So they didn't make any profit. But again, as a whole, I'm not very pleased that the luxury retailers leave whenever they do. It breaks my heart.
Do you think luxury retail, say, over the next 3 to 5 years will see growth in Canada, just given the situation around, say, we're seeing fewer Chinese tourists? You know, there's consumers that are struggling, but there's still the rich that seem to be getting richer.
I think the luxury business will always be good. And the worse things get for people, because luxury consumers are a completely different breed. They're recession proof. They're, pandemic proof. They're everything proof, basically. And they always come back. They always tend to come back. I mean, even during the World Wars, the only businesses that were making money were the luxury ones. Like if you study World War II, Hermes was still making money, even during the World War. And those guys, nothing really happens to them, and they're just too big now to fail, you know, too big, because now it's like LVMH is pretty much taking everything. They're just buying, they keep buying. LVMH and Richemont Group, they're buying pretty much everything. So once you have that kind of money, once you have that kind of backing, then you could survive anything. You know, even if you don't make a single sale for a few years, doesn't matter, you could still survive. But luxury retailers, will survive everything, and they'll come back, and because they're innovative, because they're doing innovations as we go on. So I mean, they are now making experiences instead of just going and buying something and coming back. It's not a supermarket anymore. It's like people walk in for the experience. People walk in, you go to Cartier, so they open champagne for you. They have a room, you sit down, you talk to them, they go over things with you. So it's quite an experience. You make a day out of it. You know, it's not like you just walk in and walk out. So because of that experience, and people love it, they love this experience. And these brands, they know it, and they have access to all kinds of things. So money is no issue. They could afford to do whatever, right? Because they make 10 times wear it back. And for that reason, I think they will continue to thrive. And I think in the whole retail industry, that the top luxury sector will be thriving more than anyone, even more than the Zaras on H&M's, you know.
Well, that is fascinating. And speaking of LVMH, we were having a little chat just before here. As we said before, you were in Paris and Italy. I think it was even last week. Let's talk a little bit about the retail that you saw there. We could start with Paris and then go to Milan. But you got to visit Galeries Lafayette, and you were checking out Champs-Élysées and Avenue Montaigne. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what you saw in Paris.
Wow, it's amazing. It was amazing that what they're doing in there. Like, first of all, there are a lot of tourists in there, even though there are a lot of strikes that were happening in Paris, and still do. Luckily, I didn't get to see the garbage on the street. I left before that. But Now there's piles of garbage everywhere in Paris. But even with those like limitation and strikes, the tourists were still all over the city. All the restaurants, cafes were all full. The retail was crazy. There were lineups outside Louis Vuitton store on Champs-Élysées, and it was crazy. And then you could see that LVMH and Richemont, they're just mostly LVMH in Paris. They're eating up the whole city. So wherever you look, there's an LVMH brand. And you could see like two, three of the same brand stores on one street, like on Avenue Montaigne. You see like different Diors, you see Louis Vuittons, and then like 200 meters away, there's another one, and they're bigger and they're better. And it's crazy. It's at some point you're thinking to yourself, how many products do they have in here? Like how much products they produce and they design? How many designs are there? Like they're making this building on Champs-Élysées, this for Dior, which is huge, huge. It's like a six-story huge building that they're still building it. There were just signs of it that it will open soon. But I mean, I was standing there looking at it. I'm like, how much merchandise is going to go into this place, and how many clients they need to make it worthwhile, you know? But then again, when you look at the lineups and the amount of people that are in the city and the hotels that are all booked, so it's like difficult. It was difficult to find a hotel in Paris, even though everything was like any decent hotel was like $800 and more per night. So even with that, it was difficult to find space in the hotels. And then you have the products are there. I mean, Paris is a place that they always have products. Like in here, you go to stores, a lot of stores don't even carry product. They don't even have anything. I mean, you go to the Rolex store, there are no watches to be sold. There's not absolutely zero inventory, nothing. So I was asking them in Yorktel the other day, I'm like, why are you guys in here? And you have the security guard outside, and they're protecting what exactly? There's no watches in here. I went in there and I was asking the store manager, I mean, why do you have security guards outside? There's nothing in here. Nobody's gonna steal your booths and, you know, and your desks and chairs, you know. There's no watches in here. So, and he was laughing and like he was telling me, yeah, we're just taking wish lists. They don't even, you're not even ordering a watch. You tell them about your wish list, what you wish to have, and they don't take any deposit because they can't guarantee anything. So they take your name and what you like, and then they call you maybe 2 years, 3 years later. And that's the way it's going right now in here. But in Paris, in Italy, you walk away. I mean, you go to any random store selling Rolexes, they have some stuff, they have some inventory. I'm not saying they're carrying, they have the most desirable models. But they still do. They still do a decent a collection that you could buy right there. But here in Toronto, you cannot buy. If you go to any place selling Rolex, they don't have anything right now. In the Rolex stores, I mean, the authorized retailers. Aftermarket, yeah, it's a different story. But Rolex retailers, they don't have anything. Like I bought a watch here in from Jaeger LeCoultre the other day before my trip in a boutique in Yorkdale Mall, and then I wanted a strap and a buckle, and they ordered it, and they said it's gonna take 2 3 months for a strap and a buckle, not the watch, the buckle to come. But I walked into a Jaeger LeCoultre boutique in Paris, and I bought it right there. It was there. They had inventory for everything, so it was there. So I'm saying what I'm trying to say, I guess, is that in Europe, in the places like Paris and Milan, things are available because they know people are coming. They know people, they would be buying them faster. So I think they get priority in terms of allocation of the products.
Now, Ash, you got to visit a couple of the department stores in Paris on Boulevard Haussmann. I think it's Boulevard. Galeries Lafayette and Printemps. Tell me a little bit about what you saw in there. I haven't been there in a long time.
Oh, well, it was crazy as always, busy, busy with people. Oh my God, people, the tourists and the locals. It was really, really busy, and people walking around, walking out with a lot of bags. So it was really nice. It was alive. It was like always. They had amazing collections. They have all these concession corners, like big brands. They all have the corners around that whole big rotunda thing that they have. So cosmetic business was crazy. All the watches were doing really good, watches, accessories, all these, all the brands. So it was crazy. It was busy, and everybody was happy. And so yeah, it was very refreshing to see, because I didn't go to Paris for a couple of years because of pandemic. So I couldn't go before. I used to go every month, but after pandemic, this was my first trip, and it was very encouraging to see what's happening in there, because I think what is happening in there, it will then translate into other places. So I'm hoping in Toronto, in Canada, we will have that maybe within a few months, maybe this summer, we would have that activity again to what we have, not compared to Paris, but compared to ourselves from what we have from before pandemic. And the sales were good. I talked to some salespeople, and I know I talked to some industry people that are there, that are my friends. I used to work with a lot of different brands, so they're happy. They were doing good. And you know, there are some places that some things that you could tell if something is doing good or not. I have a friend that is in the packaging industry, and he provides high-end brands. I can't tell the names, but with shopping bags. So they buy shopping bags from him in Paris. So by the amount of shopping bags that he was selling to them, he could tell me that things are good. I mean, comparing to his previous orders and what's happening and all that. So that's one of the people, whoever is providing the shopping bags, they know what's going out. So they know the numbers. So they told me that things are good. Things are getting back. And tourists were like crazy, crazy in Paris. And the collection was good. The only thing I noticed that in Galeries Lafayette, before they had a big section for formal wear for men, like a lot of shirts and stuff you'll see. That section is gone now. Everybody's in like to not formal anymore. They're like everybody's into you know, like more casual wear. That was the biggest change that I noticed in this whole thing. But other than that, everything was great, busy, selling just like always. Paris was pretty and glamorous, as it's always been. Yeah.
Excellent. Let's talk quickly about Milan here. You also had a chance to go to Italy. You visited the La Rinascente department store. I may not be pronouncing that quite right, if I'm
Yeah,
not.
La Rinascente. Yeah, La Rinascente. They said, yeah, it's also a beautiful department store that they have. The biggest one in Milan, of course, is in the Duomo area. It's so I visited there, but very, very, very busy. I mean, it was crazy, and they've changed a few things around, and they make it more high end every time that I go. I could just see the progress. They make it more and more high end. So. It's like every time they drop their lower end brands, and they replace them with better ones. And that was a good encouragement. Also super busy, a lot of tourists in the area. The whole, I mean, also I was told by some of my friends in Monte Napoleone, which is where all the brands are, that there was a big Louis Vuitton store in there. And I was told that the Louis Vuitton has bought that building and the one behind it and the one behind that. So they bought a whole like a block of all these buildings to connect everything and make a huge Louis Vuitton store. So the Louis Vuitton store that was there, it's going to be like four times bigger now, and they're working on it. And the same thing with Armani is opening new spaces and all that. So it's going crazy. It's really. Really booming, I think, for the luxury retail space. And it was busy. The stores were busy, people were buying, and it was really nice. That what I saw, it was very, very encouraging, because as I said, I'm hoping that would translate into Canada and other countries. You know, it's like Paris, Milan, London. These are the places that things start. And then they spread around, you know. So whatever happens there, then it would spread around in terms of fashion, I mean. And hopefully I believe that soon we'll see that change in here as well, that like uplift of everything after the COVID. And it was beautiful. It was really nice. Same thing in Milan. Hotels super expensive, busy. You couldn't find any rooms. A lot of construction happening. A lot of new stores were opening. A lot of redecorations that were being done. And they're all coming up with these new concepts, new ideas. You know, when you go to the store, it's not just that you walk in and buy a piece of clothing anymore. It's that you walk through a whole experience of things, you know. They take care of you. They have a lot more people that come and they service you when you go in there. One of the issues that I'm finding here in Canada right now is that there are no people working in the industry anymore. So you go to the store, there are only two people, and then you have to wait to be served. And who wants that? I mean, if somebody's going to spend $20,000, they don't want to wait. They want to be, once they're in the store, they may be waiting outside, but once they're in the store, they don't want to wait for somebody to become available. So you have to have enough staff to take care of people. But here I see that there is that's an issue in some places, but over there it wasn't, because there were all, any store you walked into, there were enough people to do the, help you with your shopping. So that was very nice, because you see that I was surprised that so many qualified people are in the industry and doing the work. So that was a nice thing in there that I saw.
This is fascinating stuff. Let's conclude here. Let's talk a bit about your brand, Saint Ash, that you've developed.
Well, yeah, Saint Ash is all about colors and, you know, the like happy and everything happy and beautiful. I think, especially in the past COVID war, post-COVID war, we need that. So we are now focused a lot on our tie collection. So now we have the ties, the pocket squares and all that, and on the website, of course, saintash.com. And then we are doing a huge collection of ties. I actually went, I had a meeting with my suppliers, because my ties are coming from Italy, from the city called Como, which is the best place in the world for silk. So all the best silk in any, like in ties or any other dresses, they come from Como. So I had a meeting there with my suppliers. We're working on an exciting new collection, which will be coming soon. Right now we have one of the biggest tie collections in the country. I think after Harry Rosen, we have the most ties on our website. We have more than 160 different models. And it's a huge collection. Like I know, I understand that a lot of people, have not been wearing ties for a long time because of pandemic. Everybody's going casual, but I have a feeling that people are coming back. That's what I saw in Europe as well. I saw people are wearing ties and all that. So the tie collections were coming bigger and nicer because I think there was demand for it. So I think that would translate into other places as well. And so we are working on that a lot. And hopefully we have soon, we start receiving our summer, like spring summer collection. But even now there's a huge collection on our website. And so we're taking it from there. And then, the other day I went to Saks Fifth Avenue. Can you believe that they have no ties in there? Not even one.
I didn't know that. Downtown, in downtown Toronto.
Yeah, they don't have any ties. They don't have any ties. So I was just walking. I was talking to one of my friends working in there. A gentleman walked to her and he asked if they have any ties. And she said, no, we don't. Yeah. I don't know if they have now or not, but this is more than a month ago that I was there. So they have nothing. So basically they just gave up on the business of tie, which is good for me because now I could replace them. I have all the ties, any model, any color that you would think of. So that is the upside of us. And we are not targeting the people that want to go back to work, serious work. And as you know, most of the companies are forcing people to go back to office. Like I know the banks are now forcing. It was just only, I think, 2 weeks ago that Royal Bank announced that they have to go at least 3 to 4 days back to office. Bank of Montreal did the same thing. CIBC never went home because they made this huge building and they didn't want it to be empty. So they had everybody coming to back to work as soon as the restrictions were lifted. So with that, I'm seeing a lot of people going back to work and going back to office, and the ties will make a comeback soon. And so I think we are in the right position right now to be able to help with the tie needs of people.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today. This has been Ash Yusufpour. He's an entrepreneur, industry expert, particularly in the luxury retail industry. We've just been talking about lots here today, and the founder of your own brand, Saint Ash. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
And I'm Craig Patterson. I'm the founder, CEO, and publisher of Retail Insider Media. I'm also the host of the Retail Insider video series. Thank you so much today for watching or listening if you're listening to this on one of our podcast platforms. Take care and bye for now.